Lord, I ask you again to bless our time together now as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. She is. Good. Good. By the way, if you're visiting today, this is an offering plate. We just pass it from row to row to row. There you go. You don't have to pass it across the aisle. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Now I'm going to ask a question which will mean nothing to you folks in the home builders class, but hopefully to you in our class it will mean something. How many of you this week had a day of praise? Day of praise. Raise your hand. Hold it up. I'll tell you what, stand up. Stand up. If you set aside a day this week for praise, very good. Very good. All of you folks get an A. Very good. It goes on your permanent record. Great. Have a seat. I obviously, as a teacher, know what I'm going to be teaching and what I think I know what I taught last week. And I made a concerted effort this week to be thankful. But it wasn't until Saturday that I really tried to set a whole day aside to be thankful. Not ask the Lord for anything, but just be thanking the Lord for things. And it was really interesting. It began as I was getting dressed to come to men's prayer meeting Saturday morning. And I was buttoning my shirt. And the Lord just impressed upon me that I ought to be thankful that I can do that. You know, I visited a man in the hospital named Bob Stoops who has had a stroke. I don't think he's much older than I am. He said, you know, I just hope that I can get to the point where I can tie my shoes again. Now, I guarantee you, when you tie your shoes, no one probably says, thank you, Lord, that I can tie my shoes. But that's a blessing. That is something we ought to be thankful for. Went to men's prayer meeting, and I had already made up my mind that I'll just be honest with you. We have testimony time in men's prayer meeting. It's been a long time since I gave a testimony. I said, today I am going to give a testimony. And, you know, here I am on the pastoral staff, you know, and all this stuff, and speak in front of people all the time. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't really want to do that. Let the other guys talk. But thankfully, the preacher gave us lots of time, and I said, okay. And the Lord just blessed my heart as I testified about the physical blessings, but more importantly, the spiritual blessings that I have. Stop and think about the blessings you have as a believer. What if you'd been born in India? More than likely today, you'd be a Hindu. But you, most of you were born in Christian homes and raised in church, heard the gospel, and you've been saved. My, we have much to be thankful for. We're studying Colossians chapter 2. We're looking at the checklist for church members. This is our fifth one and the last one. And we've kind of spread this out. In fact, Lord willing, we'll take one more week on this. So we're really spending a lot of time on this last one. And that is the simple fact in verse 7. It says, we're to be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught. Here it is, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Dr. Bob Sr. said, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. We are living in a day of ingratitude and unthankfulness. The majority of us are not praising God, we're griping and complaining to God. Now, Paul comes along and he says, look, I want to remind you that this fifth thing you need to be doing as a believer is abounding in thanksgiving. And that idea of increasing daily in our thanksgiving. We ought to be thankful people. Thankful to the Lord. Thankful to God. Thankful to your friends. Thankful to your mates. Thankful to everyone who does something for you. We ought to be thankful. This is found all throughout the Word of God. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Ephesians 5:20. Now listen carefully. Sit up straight and listen. Here it is. Giving thanks, what's the next word? Always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. How is it possible to give thanks always for all things? What must you understand before you can actually do that? Now, obviously, when you get that check in the mail that you weren't expecting, for $5,000 from Uncle Sam. And they say, oh, we made a mistake. We're so sorry. We're going to send you all this money. It's not hard to be thankful then, is it? It's not hard to be thankful. Nathan Susong told us yesterday that his wife got a good report. Cancer-free again. No sign of cancer. And not only that, but she got a new job this week. Boy, it's easy to be thankful then. But what about when you're driving your car down the road and your engine goes, and smoke comes out of the engine, you know, and you've got things flying through the hood, you know? What about then? There you go. What about when you go to the doctor and you get a bad report? What about when you sit down to pay your bills and you can't pay all your bills? How is it possible? What must you know as a believer? God is in control. Number two, God has a plan and it is good. God has a plan and it is good. Did I see Sam Cook this morning? I think I saw his wife. I don't know. Where, there she is. Oh, Sam. He's on call. Then this illustration will not mean much without Sam here. But my wife makes sourdough bread. I don't know. Probably 6 months ago, she discovered she could make sourdough rolls. So Sunday morning, this morning, we'll go home after church. I'm not going to tell you where I live, but... And we're going to be sitting down, and she's going to get these sourdough rolls out of the oven, piping hot. And I will take at least one. And I will take some real butter, probably 3 slabs of real butter, and put on that baby. And the butter will melt, and I will ingest that food. It will be blessed. But I'll be honest with you. She's got a little jar of the starter in the refrigerator. I have never in my life been tempted to take that starter out and take a drink of it. When she's mixing it up, I've never had a desire to take that bag of flour and just dig in. Those ingredients by themselves are not necessarily good, but boy, you put them together and hallelujah, there's some good eat. Now look, believer, the only way you can obey that verse is realize that God is in control of your life. Let me ask you a question. Is God in control? Does God ever come around and say, oh, Joey, I never thought, I didn't see that coming. I'm sorry, buddy. No. God knows exactly what's going on in your life. He is in control of it. And the ingredients may not be good, but boy, the overall plan is. That is the only way you can rejoice always in all things. Now, we go on, and the reason for the command. Why does he have to tell us that you need to abound in thanksgiving? Well, we gave several reasons. This is all review. One, because we are naturally unthankful. If you do what comes naturally, what are you going to do? Gripe and complain. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's our nature. We are selfish by nature. And when someone does something for me and I am selfish, my response is, you owed me? I don't need to say thank you. I mean, after all, that's your duty. Don't you love that when your kids treat you like that? You're my dad anyway. I mean, hallelujah. That's what you're supposed to do for me. I'm not going to say thank you. That's exactly how we live. This entitlement mentality, folks. It is a sign of the end times. In the end times, people are going to be, listen to this list. Lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. That's one of them, folks. One of the signs of the last time. We talked last week about the 10 lepers, 10 men healed from this debilitating, terrible disease that would eventually cause death, and only one came back to say thank you. That is our nature. We often complain. It is too hot or it's too cold. If I did a survey right now in this room, probably no one would say, it's perfect. It's too hot. It's too cold. The sermon is too long. It's too short. Probably never said that, but maybe you think of it. It's too wet. It's too dry. It's too sunny. It's too windy. It's not windy enough. The food is not exactly the temperature I want it to be. We go on and on and on and on. That is our nature. Look, he says, folks, you need to be abounding in thanksgiving. Number one, because of our practice. Number two, now let's start some new material. Number two, because of its power. Because of its power. Our practice is we are ungrateful people, naturally. But think of the power of thankfulness. Now, as I continue the lesson, in my mind, thankfulness and praise are very, very close. If I'm being thankful to God, I think, and I know praise cannot necessarily be thanks, but they're about the same thing, so I'm going to kind of treat them as the same. What happens when you become a person of thanksgiving, a person of praise? What will it do to the inside? How will it change you on the inside? Think about before when you're griping and complaining about everything, what is your focus on? Self and? The situation or the problem. Hey, that's good. S&S, situation and self, very good to me. You're on the ball today, man, I tell you. After Thanksgiving, where does the focus go? You see how it changes from the inside out? It changes our thinking. Before Thanksgiving, what are we saying about our situation before Thanksgiving? It's impossible. There's no way I can make it through. We're saying, this situation isn't fair. God doesn't love me. Nobody cares about me. The old Eeyore complex. We got the young folks in here today. We used to read Winnie the Pooh to the kids. I don't guess anybody cares. I can't find my tail. You remember old Eeyore? How many remember Eeyore? Oh, yeah, all of you do. You all look so sanctified back there. Like, sure you do. All of this, folks, this inner leads to discouragement, depression, despair, and even death when we're not thankful. But think about what happens when you become thankful. We start thinking about what God has done for us. He's delivered me from my sin. That's enough to shout about right there, isn't it? He's protected me. He's provided for me. He's answered prayer. He's done that in the past. You know what? He can do it again. He can do it again. He can deliver again. He can provide again. He can protect again. And here's what we've done. We have done what 2 Corinthians 10:5 says to do. It says, casting down imaginations. By the way, when you say, God does not care about me, that's an imagination. It's not true. When you say that nobody cares about me, that's an imagination. That's not true. When you say this situation is impossible, I cannot have victory, that's an imagination. That is not true. So what you have done when you have become thankful, you have changed your thinking to bring it in line with God's word. You've been casting down imaginations, everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and you're bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What a great thought. When you become thankful, your focus changes dramatically from your problem to the person of God, and that changes everything. Now, that's all the inner. How does that affect you on the outside? Well, let's think about what a person is like who's unthankful. You can describe your kids if you want to here. No. All of you know somebody that you'd rather not be around, don't you? No matter what's going on, they got a bad report. What does that person sound like? What's that? A grump? Doom and gloom? Would you say they're a whiner? Don't you like to be around whiners? Yeah, I hate today. It's so hard today. We just haven't. I just have no desire to be around those kind of people. There's no joy whatsoever in their life. They're sad. They're pouting. Good morning. Let me start over. No, I was just kidding. I go back to when our children were small and Patch the Pirate. Remember the poochy lip disease? You see people like that? There are people, that's how they look all the time. I think their face is frozen in that look. Their shoulders are sagging. They're defeated. It's so hard to be a Christian. I just don't know if I can make it any further. Oh, it's so hard to live for the Lord, you know, and being saved and going to heaven, it's rough. Now, what happens to that person when they change their mindset and their focus? What happens to the exterior? What happens to their voice? What happens? Now, think about it. Here they are. Oh, it's so hard. And hey, boy, it's a beautiful day today, isn't it? Boy, the Lord's given us a beautiful sunny day today. Isn't it great? I mean, their whole exterior changes. They're excited. They have the joy of the Lord in their life. Everything's going great. They're smiling. Their shoulders are held high. Boy, it's great to be a Christian today. That's what thankfulness will do for you. It'll change your thinking. And when you change the thinking, it'll change everything on the outside too. It will do it, folks. It'll do it. And everybody here knows somebody like that. And they look sad. And now, look, everybody's got problems. And if you've got problems today, I'm not belittling your problems. But in Ephesians, folks, he did say always in all things. Is God bigger than your problem? Well, if he's not, let's go home. What are we doing here? Sure he is. Now, here it is. Now, all the things I've just described are from the Bible. Here they are. Here it is, Psalm 147:1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant. Here it is, you ready? And praise is comely. Now, we don't use that word anymore, do we? You say, what in the world? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Let me ask a question. Now, I don't have much to work with here, but I'll do the best I can. Which would you rather see? I know you'd rather see neither, but would you rather see or... which do you like better? I know the choices aren't, either choice is not great, but you look better when you're happy, when you have the joy of the Lord in your heart. So Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Hey, when you become thankful, folks, it will affect you physically. It will. You can have the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. You go from a sad, bitter, griping, discouraged person who's happy about nothing to a joyful, praising person, and you will change dramatically. Not only your thinking and your heart, you'll change your whole exterior, and you might even get some friends. You'd be amazed. That's the power of thankfulness, folks. That's the power of praise. All that stress that's eating you up and destroying your heart and destroying your body, you become a thankful person, folks, and you will be amazed how much better you feel. That's the power of being thankful on you. But hey, we don't want to stop there. How about on others? Turn to Psalm 40, verse 1. Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 1. And it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now look at his situation in verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Now, some of you know Dr. Jim Berg. He has a whole series on this called Quieting the Noisy Soul. And this idea of a horrible pit is a noisy soul. A soul that is full of discouragement and despair and anger and frustration and bitterness and hatred and lust and greed. All of those things are causing noise in the soul. And David said, I was in a place where I had a noisy soul. I hope you, do you have that today, by the way? If your focus is wrong, you will. That discouragement, that despair, all of those things filling your soul. And look at him. He said, I'm in a miry clay. What's miry clay like? Well, you're sinking down and you can't get out of it and you're slipping and you're sliding and there's no solid footing and you're about to go down. David said, that's how I was. But then he said in verse 1, I cried out unto the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he rescued me, and he pulled me up out of the muck and the mire, and he set my feet on a solid rock. By the way, God can do that for you today. There's no doubt in my mind, in a crowd this size, there are people here who are hurting. And you have that noisy soul. You have got things that are stressing you out, things that are destroying your body. And you are discouraged and despondent and grieving or whatever it might be. And the Lord said to those kind of people, come unto me, all ye that... labor, you're beaten down, you've grown weary. That's what that word means. Labor is someone that has been beaten down and beaten down and beaten down and beaten down. And he said that you're beaten down and you are heavy laden. You're like a ship that is overloaded and it's taken on water. You ever been there? Well, I have, haven't you? Been like a ship here, and the water's coming over the sides, and the boat is sinking lower and lower, and you're about to go down. Jesus said, look, if you are laboring, if you're heavy laden, he said, come unto me and I will give you rest. What a wonderful picture. Here we are, we're toiling, we're laboring, we're in trouble, we're all, what am I going to do? And I was going to say pulling my hair out, but it's too late for that. And we're in trouble, we don't know what to do, and we're about to go down. And we turn to the Lord, and we cry out to God, and he said, I will do what? Here you are, you're striving, you're stressing, you're in terrible shape, and God said, I'll give you peace, I'll give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Remember David's problem? He had a noisy soul. All this stuff going on in his life. And he turned to God, and God changed him. And he put him on a solid ground. And notice what happened. This is an illustration of what we've been talking about. Notice verse 3. And he hath put a what? New song in my mouth. And what is that song? It's not a country western song. I just lost my wife and lost my truck and lost my... That's not the song, folks. I guess I've told you this before. You do know what happens when you turn, when you play a country western song backwards. You get your truck back, you get your wife back, you get better. And look, he said, he put a new song, even praise to our God. What happened? David went from being stressed out and in turmoil and trial. He called upon God. God turned him around and God gave him a song in his heart. And when you've got a song in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. Let me see. Should I stop there and preach a while about singing hymns in church? I won't do that. Now, here's an interesting thing. You say, Seaman, I thought you were talking about how it affects others. I'm getting there. Look at this. Verse 3. Many shall... Now, this is an interesting word. If I had written this psalm, I would have written a different word, wouldn't you? I would have said, many shall hear it. That's not what he said. Many will hear the song of praise to God and they're going to turn to God too. That's not what he said. Many shall see it. See what? See what happened in his life. How God took him from the mire and set him on a rock and gave him the joy of the Lord. And he said, people are going to see that and it's going to cause them to fear the Lord, have a proper view of God. Wow. That is powerful. What is he saying, folks? He's saying that when you as a believer go through a trial and you respond in grace and joy in the Lord, people are going to see it. It's going to cause them to turn to Christ. That's the power of praise to affect others. By the way, the opposite is also true. When you as a believer have a trial and you respond the same way the world does and they see that, what is that going to do to your testimony? Oh, I don't want that. They're living just the way I am. They've got nothing special. Boy, praise is a powerful thing. Folks, it will affect you and it will affect those around you. There's another great illustration, Word of God, which I've often used, and that's Acts chapter 16 and Paul and Silas in prison. You know the story. Let me just hit it real quickly and move on. Here these guys are preaching for Christ in Philippi, giving the gospel, serving the Lord. They're out there preaching. This is good stuff. Here they are, Paul and Silas, taking a stand for the Lord, pleasing the Lord. And what happens? They cast out some demons out of this girl. And because of that, doing all these good things, they get honored. They give the key to the city, right? Boy, you guys are so great. You come here, you're straightening everybody out. Boy, we're glad to have you, right? No, they beat them and threw them in prison. And they're down in that jail cell, and what are they singing? Nobody knows. The trouble was, right? Now be honest. Be honest. Believer, come on, be honest. If that was you or me, what would we be doing? We'd get the old guitar, wouldn't we? We'd go, it's hard to be a Christian. Yes, it's hard. Right? There's a song idea for you, Becky. You can use that now, no charge. Right? But what are Paul and Silas doing, folks? Praising God. Can you just see that? Praising God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I mean, here they are. They're praising God. Can you see that in your mind? Can you envision those guys? They've got their backs are beaten. They've got blood running down their backs. They're in this terrible dungeon. It's wet. It's dank. It's dark. It's infested probably with all kinds of crazy things. And they're chained here. And what are they doing? I will praise him. I will praise him. Can you just see that? Wow. And what happened? And this is kind of part of the next point. I'll touch in a minute. What happens, folks, when you start praising God? God shows up. And God shook that place. And the chains fell off and the gates fell open. But the thing I'm trying to emphasize here is how our praise affects others. Now, this thing is full of hardened criminals. Okay? They've killed people. They have robbed people. You know, these are not shoplifters, you know. They were in Kmart and they shoplifted candy bar. This is not the kind of people in there, you know. These are bad people who don't want to be there. And if you were one of those people and the bars came open, what would you do? Feet don't fail me now. We're out of here. I mean, we're gone. But they're all innocent anyway, you know. And what happened when those bars came open, folks? When the gates of those cells came up, what happened to those people? What'd they do? They all stayed. Why? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I think, that's the key words, I think they heard Paul and Silas praising God. And God did something in their hearts. And that jailer comes running over and he wants to kill himself. And Paul said, oh, don't do that. We're all here. It's okay. And what did he say to them? What did he say? Could you teach me that song? No, he didn't say that. He said, you guys are idiots. What are you doing here still? He said, what must I do to be saved? He said, these guys have got something that I need, that I want. And he begged them, and he was saved in his household. My folks, that is the power of praise on those around us. We heard it this week. If you were here when, I don't know which night it was, Dr. Clarence Sexton was talking about Bob Mann and how Bob's employee at school, this is a secular place where he worked, called him specifically and said, when Bob came to work here, things changed. Now, it did here, too. I don't know. No. Just kidding. And he said, boy, the spirit is better and things are better. And it's all because of one person. That is the power of being a thankful person, folks. It will affect those around you. Now, third thing. Not only will it change you, it'll change others. Here's an amazing one. Your praise affects God. Now think about that. It affects God. Psalm 22:3. You're in Psalm 40. Turn back a couple pages. Psalm 22:3. Psalm 22:3. David says, but thou art holy. Notice the next couple of words. O thou that inhabitest. That's a nice big word. What does it mean? To live, to dwell, to remain, to settle down, to draw near. What is he saying? God draws near those who praise him. There is a special sense of God's presence when we take time to praise him. I have seen it in our church services over and over and over again. There are certain songs that have they're praise to God that draw the presence of God to you. You say, I just don't feel God. I don't sense His presence. By the way, He's there. He never leaves you nor forsake you. But you may not sense His presence. I tell you what, become a thankful person. Start praising God. Just say, all right, I want to, all right, start praising God. Now, I'm not putting God in a box. I'm not saying He has to come in and do it. But He says, look, I inhabit the praise of my people. That's His promise, okay? That's what He says He's going to do. And He said, if you will praise me, I will come to settle down, to dwell near, to remain. That's powerful stuff, folks. When your praise and thankfulness can affect the presence of God. It happened at the dedication of the temple. Boy, I'd like to have been there. Man, that would have been something. I'd like to have been the choir leader there. Had the big old huge choir. Had like 300 trumpet players, you know. And here's the neat thing, all you guys in the choir, that said they sang as one. I bet they even practiced. I've always liked, you know, big orchestra, it's good old, you know, it's just, yeah, good stuff. And what happened is they began to sing praises to God. The presence of God came in. It was so strong. What happened? They couldn't even serve. They couldn't even, the priests couldn't even do their duties. The presence of God was so great. But not only that, folks, not only can you influence God in bringing His presence, but also in His power. I just showed you that in Acts chapter 16. The power of God came in. And I want to give you one more illustration. We'll be done. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're talking about our ability to influence God and see His power as we praise and be thankful people. 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 4. 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 4. And it says, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side Syria, and behold, they be in, whatever that is, Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi, which is close by, okay? He's saying, look, we got these armies coming, buddy, and they're just over the hill. We're in big trouble. And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So what happened? They got problems. These are smart people. They turned to God. In fact, the whole bunch of them start fasting and praying and turning to God. So God answers their prayer. Look in verse 15. And God gives them a battle plan. Verse 15, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in the battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And so they said, all right, let's do this. And here's the plan, verse 20. They rose up early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Koa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. Isn't that an interesting word? Where were they? What was the battle plan? Who went first to fight? I never preached this before. I'm trying to get new choir members. Who went first? The singers went first. Wait a minute, that's stupid. The army's supposed to go first. No, the singers went first. So here are the singers. The army's behind them. They got their army behind them. The other army in front of them. Not a great situation. And they begin to sing and to praise God. And what happens? Here they are. They're singing and praising God. And what goes on in verse 22? When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and the Mount Seir, which were coming against Judah, and they were smitten. You think praise is powerful? Folks, it can affect what God does. Why is that, you think? Why is it that God wants to hear praise, and when we praise Him, He often will do great things? Why is that, you think? We recognize His what? His power.
Recognize
His worth. Let me ask you a question. Mr. Farmer here, I pick on you all the time. I haven't had a chance lately. Let me do it again. He is a CPA. What is that? Certified Public Accountant. That's impressive. Now, if I were to come to you and say, Brother Ellison, you've got serious problems with your income taxes, and I don't know, but I know a guy who can help you. I mean, come over, help me introduce Wade. And I say, this is Wade Farmer. He is an excellent CPA. He works for Blackburn Childers and Seagal, or whatever it is, whatever the actor's name is, Seagal or whatever it is. And this guy is good, and he can take care of all your problems. And man, he knows all the laws, and he knows all the things to do, and he can save you all kinds of money. And boy, this is the man right here. Now, when you give your taxes to him, and Wade begins to work on them, I've just given this great buildup. What's he going to do? Well, I think I'll just do a slack job. Doesn't really matter. What's he going to do? He is going to do an outstanding job. Because I've just told how great he is, and how good he is. By the way, those things are all true. He is good. I think, folks, when we begin to praise God, God says, you're right. I can do that. And just because you said it, I'm going to go ahead and do it for you. When we begin to praise God, folks, God steps out and God begins to work. The power of God. Did you know that the Bible says God, His eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those that He can show Himself strong in behalf of. Now think about that. Here the Lord is looking right here. He's looking at the Caseys and the Bakers and the Rems and the Woods and Amelia. Look at all these people. God's looking at you. And He's saying, I'm looking for somebody who I can do something for. He said, I'm looking for somebody that I can show my power in their life. Maybe you, Bill. God is looking for somebody, Johnny. I mean, He's looking, Todd. He's looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody, Shannon, that He can show Himself strong in their behalf. You know who God wants to help? We want to help, but I believe there's a special place for those who are just praising Him. I'm going through trial, but praise God, God can do this. You know why? Because when God steps in and do it, when you're in a trial and you're praising God and you're saying, God's going to help me through this, I have faith in Him, it's going to be okay. He says, you know what? If I do that, I'm going to get glory. And what does God want? Why are we here? To give Him glory. And the person that is praising God and saying, oh, this is a trial, but it's going to be all right. God's still on the throne. We're going to make it through this thing. I'm trusting God. And people see that. And God comes in and does something for them. What are they going to say?
Well, yes, I did that all myself. I am pretty smart. I used all my intelligence, all my wisdom and solved that.
No, what are they going to say? They're going to say, God did it all. And God's going to get the glory. Does that make sense? Now, are you a person of praise? Or are you a pouting, sad person? Now, look, folks. Thankfulness and praise will change you. When it changes you, it will change those around you. You know what? Your testimony for God is at stake here. If you are a griping, complaining person, you have no testimony for God. If in your workplace all you do is gripe and complain about the boss and the work situation and all the bad things going on, you have no testimony for God. The world does that. You're no different than the world. But if you're going through life saying, boy, that's tough, but hey, praise the Lord, God's still in control, we're going to be all right, we're going through with God, hey, you'll have a testimony, and it'll change those around you. And not only that, folks, it'll affect God. And you will know the presence of God in your life, and you will see the power of God in your life. Now, next week, for those that are in Victor Bible class, how do you become a person of praise? We're going to give you some practical steps to that, all right? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for each one who's here today. And God, You know our hearts. You know our needs. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to become people of praise. People that are thankful. God, that You might be exalted and glorified in our lives. Lord, I know there are folks here today who are going through great trials. Help them, I pray, to praise You. to thank you always in all things, that you might receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.